Hey everyone, it's your House of Horror host, Steve Hurwitz here. Now, I am currently away for the week, so we will not be releasing a new episode. But as my ever fantastic co-host, Jefferson Miller, has pointed out to me, we're actually celebrating our 6-month anniversary of the podcast release, which is bananas. That's half of the year we've been doing this, but it has been so much fun and so great. So thank you everyone for listening. As a little bonus, we are deciding to re-release our very first episode, episode 1, Friday the 13th, from 1980. So this will definitely show how far we've come. I personally haven't gone back and listened to it since we released it, but I'm sure it is just as okay as I remember being. So thank you again, everyone. Give that episode a listen if you want, or give some previous episodes a listen to hold you over until this next Friday, which we will be back to our regular scheduled weekly release. We will be covering the movie Basket Case. So if y'all wanted to give that a check out before we talk about it, feel free to. Otherwise, we will see you guys next week. Bye.
Welcome to Hurwitz's House of Horror.
Hello and welcome to the very first episode of Hurwitz's House of Horror. I'm your host, Steve Hurwitz, and with me today is my good friend, Jeff. How's it going, Jeff?
I'm doing good.
Excellent. Well, the idea of this podcast is that I, as a fan and a lover of horror movies and all things horror, convince one of my friends or somebody that I know to watch a movie they otherwise probably never would. In the horror genre, and kind of get their opinion of it. I want to see what they think, you know, from someone who doesn't like horror to me who does. For this very first episode, I convinced Jeff to watch the movie Friday the 13th, which is a very classic summer slasher horror film. Before we dive into that, Jeff, I want to ask you a few questions.
Alrighty.
So, do you have any, like, what's your first memory of kind of a horror movie or something kind of horror related that you first saw?
Ooh, that's a good question. I grew up in a house where horror wasn't, like, accepted. I was given toys where the little weapons would be pulled out of them and then they'd re-glue the package. So horror wasn't like a, you know, it wasn't passed down. So first horror, probably The Exorcist. And it was at a slumber party.
Really? Tell me about that or what you remember.
I remember being, we were staying, it was my friend Justin's house. We were in this like patio room. So all the walls were glass. It was like right next to his pool and all the blinds were pulled open. So it was just darkness. You could see just your reflection. And we put on The Exorcist, and even before the movie started, I was terrified. And I was the only one, I think. They were all kind of like, whoa, scary. But they'd seen scary movies. And I was legitimately like, this is such a bad idea. I need to get out of here. And then we put it on and it was terrifying. And mm-hmm. I was probably the scariest I'd been up until that point in my life. Wow. And his dad, I remember, came around the outside of the glass like room that we're in.
Yeah.
And he just like slammed up against the side of the glass and it scared the shit out of everybody. But it was fun.
It's a classic dad move right
there.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that's so exciting. Definitely. Like, I know you have become a lot more accepting of horror. Like when mm-hmm. I first met you, I think I told you I was into horror stuff. And like, it's never been my big thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember early on, we saw Piranha 3D in theaters.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And that was, I think, one of the first horror things I kind of watched with you. And you're like, oh, man, that was fun. Mm-hmm. And you enjoyed that. And I was like, cool. I feel kind of more open to showing you more kind of gore related horror movies. Because, you know, as a big fan of horror, I have shown some people some horror movies and they have been just like, don't ever put that on again. I'm like, good to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that was my first kind of horror movie experience with you.
Yeah, I feel like the fact that it was goofy.
Yeah.
That you could like laugh. That was my like when I started liking it was realizing that it could be really funny.
Mm-hmm.
So like, yeah, you know, Piranha, it's almost like a comedy, but it's scary at the same time. I don't know. It ended up being really fun, I thought.
I guess it's more of a kind of a gore movie than a scary movie. Which some of them kind of come down to. Yeah. Like the, I'm pretty sure there was a character who got his dick torn off by a piranha.
Yeah. And it was floating. It was like floating through the water in one scene or something. It like zoomed in on it.
And if that's not horror, I don't know what is.
That's right.
Yeah. Scary.
Disembodied penis.
Just come back.
Yeah.
All right. And just as a spoiler warning for anyone who has not seen Friday the 13th Part 1. Yeah, there's going to be spoilers. We're going to be talking about the movie, things we liked, didn't liked, and spoilers. So look out. All right, Jeff.
Yes.
What do you think the story was about?
Ooh. The story was about thoughtless camp counselors and them getting what they deserved. It was about there's a how any where spoilers are fine, right?
Oh, we can just jump in wherever you want.
Okay, cool. So overall, it was about like a mom who thought her kid died at the hands of a bunch of stupid irresponsible teenagers who were busy kissing and touching, and so she was out for her revenge and all, obviously very crazy.
No, that's probably pretty spot on right there.
Nice. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Did you like this movie, first of all?
If this is a yes or no answer, I'm gonna say yes.
Cool, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like it's a little more complicated.
Right now, I'm just going for the yes.
Yeah, I'm going to go with a yes.
And
thumbs up.
Was this your first time seeing Friday the 13th Part 1, or have you seen this before?
Yes, there was a couple times where I thought I had seen it, and then I realized I was very wrong, and I had never seen this before.
So this movie begins, believe it or not, in 1958. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, well,
so.
Yeah.
So it's a period because it was made in 1980 or, you know, 79 or something.
Well, here's the thing. So those first two counselors that are murdered,
mm-hmm.
you know, those killings took place in 1958. And right before the title comes on the screen, you know, the big Friday the 13th logo that smashes through glass.
Oh, so exciting.
Right out of the screen into our hearts.
Right.
Yeah. We're introduced to a bunch of people at a camp. And we're soon shown two camp counselors sneaking off and going to make love.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. As they start to do their thing, get canoodling, the camera goes into that first person type deal and it starts to follow like up the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
And it soon shows them being murdered. After that, we are introduced to the 1980 present day mm-hmm. time. In this time, a girl shows up named Annie, and she's asking about Camp Crystal Lake. She comes across the locals there, and they all kind of freak out. They all stop what they're doing, look at her, and they call it Camp Blood. That's weird, right?
Yeah, I don't understand why anyone would go to this camp.
Well, it was shut down. You do learn mm-hmm. that it's called Camp Blood because two counselors were murdered and that a young boy drowned the year before.
Right.
So the two camp counselors were murdered in 58. The boy drowned in 57. And I guess that is why it was closed down.
And I guess it's long enough ago that it's not. Like if it was last year, maybe don't go work at that camp. But the fact that it was like 30 years ago. It's more of like an urban legend, even, I mean, or not. It's not. It happened, but it was a long time ago.
Yeah, and it certainly frightened the townsfolk.
Yeah.
Enough where they're like, hey, don't go there.
Yeah, everybody.
But it's also kind of weird that there's the one gentleman who gives Annie a ride, you know, close by. Remember, she's like, can anyone tell me how to get there? Oh, it's 20 miles away. Can I get a ride? Yeah, sure.
Of course, I'd love to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's also really mean.
Yeah.
He was like aggressively mean. He's like, you're dumb.
Yeah.
You kids, you don't do that.
You dumb idiots.
Yeah. And she's like, okay, grandpa.
Okay. Can I have a ride?
Yeah. You know who else you meet? A fan favorite character, Crazy Ralph. Remember him? He was the guy on the bike.
I'm quickly realizing I don't know anyone's names. Oh, Ralph. Ralph. I referred to him as, I don't know if this is like a, if this term is, I don't know. I called him the hobo.
Okay.
Which I know is not like a correct term for, you know, unhoused people, but like he had the little hat with the frayed tips and he almost looked like a clown to me.
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the way he spoke, doomed.
Yeah.
I'm gonna, there's something's gonna get you. Don't go to the camp.
Yeah.
And you know, if they had listened to him,
maybe they'd be alive.
I wouldn't call him Crazy Ralph. I'd call him Truthful Ralph.
Right.
Yeah.
I'd call him Wise Ralph.
He was just trying to save their lives.
Yeah.
Don't judge a book by its
cover. I knew from the beginning in my notes, I wrote, Ralph's a good guy. And I can tell he has a clean spirit.
He does. He may not have smelled like it.
No.
Yeah.
He was a dirty man with a clean spirit.
Did you know he had a wife?
Wait, what?
Yeah.
How do you know he has a wife?
Well, they reference it later on.
Later on
in the movie. There's a cop. He's talking to one of the characters and he's like, yeah, we took Ralph in and his wife was worried about him. And for whatever reason, that caught my attention. I was like, he has a wife. Good for you, Ralph.
I think I might have been distracted during that scene because I seem to remember the cop dropping the N-word, which really threw me off.
Whoa, I don't remember that happening.
He was. We're talking about the same cop.
We might not be because there is two scenes that cops show up.
Oh, OK. So I'm talking about the one who's like.
There's the first scene or there's the first scene where the cop shows up where he's on a motorcycle and he pulls up to the camp and there's one of the kids. I think his name is Ned.
Ned.
And he's wearing he's doing all the jokey stuff. And this cop, he knows his stuff because he's like, you kids better not be smoking any grass. And one of the characters says, we don't smoke anything up here. And the cop like names all the slang terms for weed. He's like, you know, the jazz cigarette, the kush. He's a very hip guy.
See, that's the officer I was talking about.
Really?
I may have misheard him, but I could have sworn he said something. He was like, yeah, smoking the grass and something. And he was like, kind of like moving into a character. And I think he like dropped the N-word at the end, trying to be like, I'm a cool guy. But it was a white cop. I don't know if that's, maybe he was just using another slang term and it just sounded.
It might have sounded like that. I had the subtitles
totally
on.
Off, okay, cool. Yeah.
Distracted you for a second.
All right. Well, then allegedly. We'll let him off the hook for now.
Fun fact about that cop, too. The one that shows up at the camp. The screenwriter.
You got me.
Victor Miller.
Hey.
Yeah. He originally did not want that scene with the cop showing up because Miller wanted to give the camp kind of a rural feel, and isolated. And he wanted to make it feel like these camp counselors, they had no way of getting help out to them, you know,
gotcha.
Once the murder started and all that. But for whatever reason, I think there was a rewrite and they put the cop in the script there.
I almost feel like it's rural, but also it's almost like help is so close, but so far away. I almost like that better.
I like that. That's a good way. I never thought about it like that.
You know, it's like, oh, the cop was just there.
Yeah.
And then all these murders and, you know, what are they going to do?
They just let it happen.
Yep.
So going back to the beginning of the movie, Annie gets dropped off about 10 miles from the camp and we're introduced to all of our main characters who I've seen this movie a bunch of times. I really couldn't have told you their names until watching it this time, kind of taking some notes. So we're introduced to Steve Christie, the head camp counselor. He had glasses and kind of frizzy hair.
Yeah, I've got some things to say about Steve.
Oh,
continue.
What do you got to say about Steve?
Just bad vibes right off the bat.
Kind of creepy, right?
So just totally creepy.
Yeah.
Shirtless.
Uh-huh. When he first showed up, remember he was wearing those short shorts, no shirt.
Exactly. Just like, he's chopping wood.
He's chopping wood.
He's like hitting on his employees, I think, or whoever that girl is. And then
Alice, right? The final girl.
That's right.
Yeah.
I didn't make that connection until just now. But yeah, the final girl. And then later on, he's like, oh, have to get back to the babes in the woods or whatever. And I get he's saying like that's a term or whatever. But he's like in all ways of the meaning or whatever. It's just like, oh, you're creepy.
Yeah.
He's just a creepy dude.
I definitely got that vibe, too.
I straight up thought he was the killer through the whole thing.
But really? We'll circle back to that. Twist there, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, once we meet Steve, we're also introduced to Marcy. We're introduced to Kevin Bacon, who I actually kind of don't know his character's name because I just see him as Kevin Bacon.
I called him Kevin Bacon, too.
Yeah.
I did not know Kevin Bacon was in this.
Really?
Yeah, that totally threw me.
Oh, that's awesome.
Through a loop.
Yeah, it wasn't his like first feature debut, but this was very early on in his career.
Because it was Kevin Bacon, I was like, well, he's going to make it to the end. So that helped kind of retroactively because of his early demise.
It was one of those things you just went, oh, okay.
Yeah, that's scary. That was the whole thing.
Yeah.
When he died.
So on top of that, we're introduced to Ned. Ned is kind of a dick.
Yeah, he's very annoying.
Yeah. So with that, you know, we got to meet Steve and Alice too. All of them all showed up around the same scene. And then we also met Bill and Brenda.
Who is Brenda?
She was the one who Ned shot an arrow past.
Yes. Right. And she was rightfully very angry about almost being hit with an arrow. Like, I remember that now. Okay.
Like, don't shoot arrows at people you don't know. At least I don't think they knew each other. I think this was their first time meeting.
He was flirting.
Yeah, he also could have shot her.
Yeah, that's true.
So this is also around the first time where we're introduced to the point of view killer.
Oh, is that how the killer's referred to?
Well, kind of.
In all of the
shots where the killer was in up until the very end, mm-hmm. they were all just, you know, the first person you were seeing what they were seeing. Fun fact about the point of view killer was that there was not a lot of music in this movie. There was like the very start. I think there were little bits spread out between, mm-hmm. but most of it was when the killer was on screen, it would do like the.
Oh, love that.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorite parts of the whole movie.
Just like that theme as we go, so iconic.
Yeah, I would do that. I do that. No, I wouldn't say all the time, but I've done that a bunch of times, not realizing even what I was referencing.
Nice. So this is when our first kill of the counselors happen. The scene starts with a Jeep driving by to pick up Annie, the cook that was first introduced when she was coming into town. She gets in the Jeep and she's like, thanks for the ride. Then the Jeep goes past where she was supposed to be dropped off. Annie is, of course, freaked out and she jumps straight out of that car. Good for her, right?
Yeah,
good job. She jumps like a flip right out.
Just so brave.
Yeah. Runs through the woods for a little bit. You know, she's injured. And unfortunately, she meets her demise by the mysterious killer.
See, I remember as this was happening, thinking, or right around this point in the movie, actually, no, it's about 22 minutes into the movie because I paused it and I was thinking that it was going to be the very beginning because, you know, it just felt early on. I was like, man, this is already 20 minutes in. And I didn't feel like it was scary at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Like even during the killing, I was kind of like, that's fine. I don't know, because I just didn't know anything about this person. It just felt kind of like, eh. But I didn't realize what was, you know, to come.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember seeing her in something, like, I don't know if it was a poster or what, but I thought she was going to be a main character. So that was also surprising when she like just got murdered in the woods in the very beginning.
I think it was because she was the first character introduced. Oh. And in a lot of movies, you know, it's like, here's the main character we're supposed to be rooting for.
Right.
And the next thing you know, flying out of a car and getting stabbed. I believe she had her throat slit.
Yes, she did.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah. I got to say, all of the practical effects in this were very good. I'm a big fan. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Tom Savini, who has done practical effects for a lot of horror movies. Have been fantastic.
Oh, yeah. I'm always a big fan of practical effects.
As the movie progresses, we're shown the camp counselors kind of getting together and doing camp counselor things, setting up the camp that's supposed to be ready in about 2 weeks. I like that it showed them as like it showed friendship. It showed them all getting along. It showed them having a good time. And then it showed Ned being a dick again by pretending he was drowning and then getting a girl to give him mouth to mouth. And everyone was angry at him.
Yeah, I was. I don't know if that came before or after the famous similar scene in another movie. I think it's The Sandlot, where the kid pretends to drown to kiss the you know, lifeguard. Mm-hmm. But as soon as he started kind of quote unquote drowning, I was like, oh, he's the type of guy who's going to try and like sneak one in because he's shooting arrows at girls and making weird comments. He wasn't on my list of favorite characters.
No, not really.
Yeah, he sucks.
I like that besides Ned and Steve for being a creep, most of the characters were fairly likable.
Yeah, I like the rest of the people.
Yeah, I like that this movie didn't kind of make you go out of your way to hate these characters. So when they died, you were like, nice. It was kind of like that shock factor of, oh, man, I related to you.
Yeah.
Because I was once Kevin Bacon, too.
That's right.
Yeah.
We were all once Kevin Bacon.
Yeah. Here's another scene that I really liked. The cop shows up and he's looking for Ralph. This is going back to what we were just talking about. And the kids are like, we haven't seen him. And the cop leaves. I think it's Annie goes into the pantry to start cooking some food. And she opens up the closet door, the pantry door. And crazy Ralph is just hanging out in there.
Oh, right.
He's like, oh, I'm back. Look out. It's Friday the 13th. It's spooky. Bad things are happening here. Yeah. They're going to happen.
See, again, trying to help. He's always on the right. Something weird about that pantry, too. I don't remember if it was before or after, but she opens the pantry and I just got the worst feeling from it.
As you should, because Crazy Ralph was in that pantry.
Yeah, but it was I think it was before that. And she just opened it and it just gave me the creeps and I couldn't explain it. I was just like, something is so creepy about that pantry. And then,
well, that's good setup.
And
right
then
there.
Ralph and then, you know, other things.
He also was shown riding away on his bicycle for like a really long time. That made me laugh. A whole lot because, you know, he gets on his bike to go away from the camp and he starts riding and like, there he goes. And the camera goes back to Annie watching him. And then it just goes back to Ralph and he's just going down this path and he's just still biking. He looks back.
I wonder why
they really wanted you to feel like you were watching him leave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really wanted to give Ralph a fair goodbye. Just a long, long shot of Ralph leaving. That was weird. So I don't know if it was intentional. I'm sure it was intentional, but it seemed like there were a few things. There were a few different characters that they were trying to kind of hint at being the killer, especially because I forgot. Once it got towards the end, I remembered the story and who the killer was. But through most of the movie, I totally forgot, which was fun because like it seemed like they were trying to hint at Ralph being the killer, obviously, through a lot of it. And like the fact that he was missing. So it kind of he doesn't have an alibi. So he could have been killing the kids. And then also more subtle things, because I was convinced Steve was the killer just because he had such bad vibes. And also the fact that he left before this all started and was just MIA. And then kids started dying.
Sure.
And he just would be the guy. And he was also axing stuff.
That's
when we
true.
First saw him. It's like he's a killer. and then we see later the car he's driving. And lo and behold, he's driving a Jeep, which, if you remember, the first killing was, you know, Jeep guy. Jeep
was
person.
Annie jumping out or being picked up by a Jeep.
Was Annie being picked up by a Jeep
and the murder
and then
it
not stopping.
Yeah.
And then the murder slitting her throat in the woods. And I was like, that's such a Steve move.
Steve, I'm only going to wear short shorts while chopping a tree.
Yeah.
Counselor.
He likes to do that when the campers arrive so he can like literally flex. Just be like, oh, yeah.
I'm imagining he was in the cabin just kind of waiting, looking out the window, and he sees the car with Marcy, Kevin Bacon, and Ned show up, or they're starting to like come down the road. Yeah. He's like, oh, fuck. And he just tears his shirt off and just
runs outside.
Yep. And he just pretends to be hit. And he's like,
his pre-chopped wood.
Yeah. He's like, oh, I've had the set.
Welcome to camp.
How cool do I look?
Ladies.
Yeah. And Kevin Bacon. Yeah. I seriously have never thought about the Jeep with Steve and then the Jeep that the killer was driving. That's really cool.
I was convinced. I was so proud of myself thinking I found this little like, oh my God, I solved it. It's 100. I was fully convinced that it was Steve.
Yeah.
Until it wasn't.
Well, I guess that's the filmmaker getting you there.
That's how they get you.
Oof. Well, let's see. So next up is a scene that kind of really stood out to me when Kevin Bacon is walking around with Marcy. It's right before a thunderstorm happens. And Marcy starts telling Kevin Bacon that she's scared of thunderstorms because she would have these dreams about the rain turning into blood.
Yes. That was weird.
She really doesn't like, really doesn't like rain, huh?
Yeah, this was around the time I started to suspect everybody.
Uh-huh.
Because she started talking about, you know, blood rain. And I was like, well, she's the killer now. Mm-hmm. Now I've decided that she's for sure the killer. It's just everyone, they were like likable, but also had this like weird undertone of creepiness. Except for Kevin Bacon. He was just a golden boy.
Just doing his Kevin Bacon things. He was like, one day people will say I'm 6 degrees away from everybody.
That's right. One day they're going to say I can't dance and I'm going to dance.
He'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
Fun fact about that scene is that was the monologue that the actors had to audition for, I think, the Marcy role. They all had to give that monologue to see, can you do it? Because it felt very monologue-y to me and I looked it up and it certainly was.
Do you happen to know if any of the other, if anyone else auditioned for Marcy?
I'm pretty sure that the actor who played Alice tried out for Marcy. I think she tried out for most of the other roles and then she ended up being cast as the main final girl.
Good job for her. Much better role.
I got to say, she was really good. I should know her name.
Yeah, you should. Wow. She was good, though. I remember there's a scene towards the end that like halfway through, I realized was all one shot.
Which scene was that?
She was it was really close to the end where she's the killer's after her. And we know who the killer is.
Mm-hmm.
And she trying to barricade herself in one of the buildings. I don't know. I was really bad at recognizing what.
Is that
and
when
she ties the rope around the doorknob and starts piling stuff against the door? And it seemed like, unless I glanced away or something, it was all one continuous shot for like a long time. And she was like believable through the whole thing.
That was one scene I for sure also agree with you on.
Yeah, that was
intense. Just very like good for you. You're barricading yourself in. You're tying that door. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Her name is Adrienne King.
Adrienne King.
She for sure put on a great show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She was very good.
She was, I would say, of all the characters, excluding Kevin Bacon,
of course,
was the most likable character.
Oh, definitely.
So it totally works that's what I was worried early on, because, you know, not to sound, I did not care about the first girl getting killed. It was like, OK, cool. You know, and I'm going to watch a movie where a bunch of campers I don't care about get killed.
Yeah.
But then, like you're saying, it shows them being friends and stuff. And then slowly it dwindles down to like, oh, man, now I want this one person to live.
Mm-hmm. I really like the scene where Steve has already gone into town. He's kind of left the camp. Kevin Bacon and Marcy go off to do their thing. Ned has wandered off into a cabin because he hears some weird noises.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be Bill, Brenda, and Alice. And they're all hanging out and they decide to play Strip Monopoly.
Right. Yeah, that was unexpected. Also, I don't know. That one girl just seemed so, she really wanted to play Strip Monopoly.
Brenda.
Yeah, she was like convincing them, we are going to play Strip Monopoly.
Yeah, kind of like she's done this before a whole lot.
Right.
She's like a Strip Monopoly shark.
She definitely invented Strip Monopoly.
I believe so.
I didn't know where they were going with that scene. And also like how they start with the boots, which are with the shoes. I feel, you know. you start with something more exciting. I don't know. That just seemed weird to me that it was like, uh-oh, I lost a shoe.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it kind of makes the game go on a bit longer, and it's a bit more like, uh-oh, you got no shoes. Especially for someone like me who hates feet. That's torture.
Yeah, that's more of a scary game for you.
Yeah, no, I don't want to start with the shoes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, get rid of them. Oh. Or no, keep them on, keep them on. So while those three are playing Strip Monopoly, we flash to Kevin Bacon and Marcy, and they run off into their cabin, and they start making love.
I was not expecting that.
Really?
I don't know why, because clearly it's R. Mm-hmm. But I was kind of just waiting for like the kissing, and then it's them under the covers, and then it cuts to them talking or something. And then all of a sudden they're naked and there are nipples and butts. And
you see Kevin Bacon's butt just like right there.
Yeah, I was not ready to see Kevin Bacon's butt.
Good for you, Kevin Bacon.
There's also a part after where they're, you know, in movies or shows where, you know, they're not allowed to show nudity. So the girl like conveniently is laying with the sheet covering up, or like the guy, like in this one, Kevin Bacon's hand was weirdly, awkwardly cupping her boob.
Yeah.
And my first thought was, well, clearly for nudity reasons. So that way, it's a way to avoid nudity, and he's just not doing it in a way that's very natural, because it was like this weird hook.
It was
almost
super awkward.
Like, I honestly don't even know if I know what they were talking about, because I was just staring at his hand like bent so weird. And I thought, oh, the nudity thing. And then she leans forward and her other boob comes out and he still has his hand. I don't know. Not an important point, but.
Well, I mean, this was the 1980s. The only time the internet wasn't available.
That's right.
This was the only time you could see boobs and murders and
Kevin Bacon's butt.
Kevin Bacon's butt all in like one place. You know, man, if those kids knew about the internet and porn these days, God,
man,
I feel like that's kind of one of the reasons, too, why you don't see as much nudity in movies anymore, because it's like, well, that was a draw. You know, that was the only time you could see that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Especially for like, you know, a kid or like a teenager during those times when these were, you know, those movies are kind of aimed at.
Yeah, I was like, oh, my God, a nipple.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. And it was kind of like, you know, it's kind of about teenage age, or, you know, around your age at the time. If you're a teenager going to the movies and it's like, oh, that could be me touching that lady's nipple or whatever.
That could be me getting murdered, too. Yes. So this is also the scene where they find, or they show you Ned's body.
Oh, so messed up.
Yeah.
Do they never find Ned's body, do they? In that scene, or at least not in that scene. They just fully have sex.
Yes.
Hang out, pillow talk and everything, giggle, get up. And he's just up there dead.
Yep.
So messed up.
The killer like got his body there pretty fast. Because right before Kevin Bacon and Marcy have their blood rain talk, that's when Ned kind of wanders up because he hears somebody making some noise or something, and he disappears. And then there's the blood rain talk. And then they go off to the cabin to get away from the rain. And the killer has somehow gotten Ned's body into the cabin before them on top of that bed. Good for you.
Yeah, good for you. Definitely there were a few moments of, once the killer was revealed, how did you do the things that you did?
We've given a spoiler warning. We can just say it.
Well, there's the I don't know his name. The guy who gets killed with arrows on the back of the bathroom door.
Oh, that's going to be Bill, I believe. Bill. Yes.
He's fully off the ground.
Yep.
Pierced onto a door.
Yep.
She would have had to like, okay, are we supposed to believe that either she shot him with the bow and arrow
with so much force that his body
so much force
flew
that
up.
She pinned him to the door? And then also just continued to fire arrows through his body? Or what I was thinking, she lit, and I didn't know it was a little lady at this time, but she lifts his body up and then drives arrows through his body into the door as like a taunt. Mm-hmm. That's what I thought it was. But also, I don't know how she would do that.
I'm standing by the theory where she's just so powerful. that the arrows lifted him off of his legs, off of his feet, onto into the door. Did you notice that he had three arrows in him? I believe it was three arrows. There was one through like his eye.
Yeah, and I think one through his...
One through his neck. Or maybe his neck was slit as well.
Right.
But he definitely had one straight to the dick.
Ooh, didn't catch that.
Yeah, I thought I saw it at first, and I paused the movie, and I rewound it, because I was like, oh, no, sir, no, it must just be his leg, not straight through the dick.
She definitely seemed to have the killer, like a vendetta against sexuality as well as just these teenagers. Mm-hmm. It was like, you're kissing, you dirty sluts, and mm-hmm. then she would go kill them. It was always the people who were canoodling that mm-hmm. got killed. You know, at first.
Yeah.
She's a prude is what I'm saying.
Gotcha.
Yeah. She needs to lighten up.
Going back to Kevin Bacon, you know, the awkward handcuffing. Mm-hmm. So Marcy gets up. She leaves to go use the bathroom. Kevin Bacon's hanging out by himself. Blood drips on his face. Mm. That's when he's like, what? And then just gets stabbed straight through the neck. No, he gets. Yeah.
Yeah, straight through the chest, I think.
No, it's the neck.
It's the neck,
yeah.
That was my first jump scare.
Really?
In the movie.
Nice. Yeah.
It wasn't even the stabbing, it was the hand. Mm-hmm. Because her hand whips out from under the bed across his mouth, and then he gets stabbed through the heart through the neck with an arrow.
Yeah. And it just like drills through.
Yeah, that was brutal.
Yeah.
That was so messed up.
There was some bubbling that happened that wasn't mm-hmm. supposed to, because I believe it was Tom Savini was blowing air to kind of make the blood come out. Oh. And that created kind of bubbles in it. That was unintentional, but I think it looked really cool.
Ew.
Like a gross kind of cool addition.
It definitely worked.
Yeah.
And it was that was the point I realized, like, oh, this is going to be up until that point. It was like, OK, kind of campy, fun horror. And then it was like, oh, this is going to be more messed up than I thought. Mm hmm.
Once Kevin Bacon goes, what's that? That's going to be the third kill, I believe it is, not including the two at the very beginning, because let's see who's already down. We have Annie down. We have Ned down. Mm-hmm. We have Kevin Bacon down.
That's right.
Yeah. Then we're going to go to Marcy, who's, you know, in the bathroom, doesn't realize Kevin Bacon has been murdered. And... Well, we learned that she's very handy. She fixes that pipe, you know, because the water isn't working when she tries to turn it on.
That's right.
Yeah. So good for you, Marcy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll call you next time I need a pipe fixed. Hey. Actually, I guess I want you dead.
Yeah.
Sorry, Marcy.
You don't want that.
So I like the scene. I thought it was pretty tense. She hears like sounds coming from the showers and she starts kind of opening up the shower curtains. Mm-hmm. There's nobody there. I think she opens like two or three and she relaxes. Suddenly she turns around. Boom, axe to the face. We have our fourth kill.
Yeah, axe to the face. Also, again, I wasn't expecting this level of practical effects. I wasn't expecting to see a person's face with an axe coming out of it.
Yeah.
Because it's so early on. I thought it was going to be a little more like subtle for some reason. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Also, did you notice her doing her little like monologue in front of the mirror? I had subtitles on. I had no idea what was happening. So I had to read subtitles and she was doing a Catherine Hepburn.
Yeah,
that's why I was confused. Okay, cool. That makes way more sense.
Yeah, I just thought that was kind of weird.
Oh yeah, it was weird.
Catherine Hepburn was like a star from the 50s, right?
I think so.
No. Yeah,
I saw it as Audrey Hepburn, and I was so confused. I just saw Hepburn, and I was like, "Well, that's a horrible impression."
Yeah.
Okay, that probably makes more sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then axe to the face.
Which, again, I thought the effects looked great.
Oh, yeah. It looked good.
It looked really good. And I kind of forgot how good it looked. Mm-hmm. So I haven't put this movie on in a hot minute. It's been a little while. So that's why I thought it'd be a good idea to, you know, good reason for you to watch it. Yeah. Good reason for me to watch it.
It was. I think that's the level of gore that I like.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, it's realistic and well done artistically, but it's not so real. Mm-hmm. It's like movie real in a fun way instead of, you know, House of Wax, someone clipping someone's Achilles heel or whatever. And
Like all things considered, this is fairly tame. Totally. Gore.
Yeah.
But again, for the time was just, whoa.
Yeah. And it is, I mean, it's gory, but again, yeah, in like a 1980s way.
Mm-hmm. So right after this, I think we got to be at least like halfway through the movie now.
Mm-hmm.
That's four counselors down. We cut to Brenda. She ends up leaving the game of strip Monopoly. She goes back to her cabin and she starts hearing a little girl crying, "Help me, help me, help. Get over here." And then it's Scorpion from the Mortal Kombat movies.
Get over here.
Yep. And this movie took a weird turn.
Yeah, the crossover.
Yeah. So it's pouring rain out. She goes and follows this voice. Now, that seems like a bad idea to me.
Oh, yeah. Also, that didn't make sense to me until just now. Because I was thinking, clearly this is the killer.
Mm-hmm.
But how? Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, because it's a lady. It's so obvious. But at the time I was thinking, how is this dude making this little girl's voice? And how creepy is that?
Because I'm assuming you were still thinking it was kind of like Steve. Right?
I thought it was Steve. Yeah. I was like, how is Steve? Steve is really good at impressions. But I should have cued in at that point, probably, that it wasn't Steve or, you know,
Kevin Bacon, because he's dead Bacon. Now. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Brenda wanders off to the archery range where she hears the voice. Mm-hmm. The lights get turned off. Or the lights get turned on, and then that's kind of it for her. I believe she screams, and then we cut to Alice and Bill.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that that's going to be another off-screen death, because Ned's wasn't shown, and then Brenda, yeah, her kill was off-screen, but she does show up a little later on.
That's what I was going to, yeah, she does come back.
She does.
She makes a feature.
Well, going to that real fast, that was actually a jump scare that got me. I forgot about that. Towards the end of the movie, she gets thrown through a window, and I forgot about it. Surprised the shit out of me.
See, in that scene, it shows what's her face, the final mm-hmm. girl, and it frames her in the window next door,
mm-hmm.
and it's very and it lingers there. Which again, I keep thinking I'm like smarter somehow. Like, oh, I see what they're doing here, but they're doing it on purpose.
Yeah.
Like, guys, something's about to happen. I thought a fist was going to come through, and then a whole ass body comes breaking, smashing through the glass. That surprised me also. That was insane.
That gave me a jump and a laugh that I jumped. I was like, oh.
Yeah, I laughed.
good for you, Friday the 13th. You got me. Yeah. Even though I've seen it, you still got me.
Yeah.
Well, I guess around this part, like all of this kind of happens around the same time. You know, Brenda. She screams. We don't know what happened to her. Bill wanders off to go see or to try and find her. He disappears. And then that's when Alice goes looking for him. And that's when she finds Bill's body hanging up by all right. the arrows again. How?
Yeah. Real strong lady.
That's right. Then we go back to the scene that we both really liked where she's panicking, like she is scared.
Mm-hmm.
She's screaming, she's running, she's barricading the door, tying a rope around it. She thinks she's safe. She wanders off into the kitchen. Here we go. Brenda's body through a window.
So good.
Yeah.
And just so, what a weird thing to do also as a killer. It wasn't even like she was using the body to break, you know, to get in through the window. It was just a fully like, gotcha. It was mm-hmm. like a little tease. It wasn't even about, it's like, I'm enjoying this, you know, like full again. So strong.
Mm-hmm.
She kills what's his dude and either lifts him and bolts him to a door or uses a bow and arrow and launches him off his feet into a door and then lifts a woman, her dead body, just dead weight, and just chucks her through a window. My God, she must have some kind of superhuman, you know, lake strength.
Lake strength. I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's, of course, not forget about Steve.
Oh, right.
We go to Steve. He's sitting at a diner. He's eating. He eats, as one does.
Right. At a diner.
Yep. Pays. He gets in his Jeep
mm-hmm.
and he drives off. He's heading back to the camp. His car ends up breaking down and he has to call for help. And one of the cops shows up. Who, again, didn't say any racist terms.
Allegedly.
The cop shows up, starts to give him a ride. The cop gets called away because of a crash that happened, and he drops Steve off, and Steve has to walk back to the camp. Steve is walking back, and we come to a POV shot. Someone is approaching Steve, and what I liked was when the camera was approaching him, he said, let's see. He said, oh, hey, what are you doing in this mess? Like, he recognized this person.
Yeah, you can see it in his eyes, yeah. too. Like, oh, he knows this person.
Yeah, like he had his hand up because there was a light being shown at him, and he eased up. Mm-hmm. Oh, hey. And then this is when Steve gets it, too.
That was a great, for me especially, that was a turning point. Mm-hmm. Because, one, well, clearly not Steve. That was one I knew for sure. That Steve wasn't the killer.
Yeah.
Two, he knew the killer. And so it was like, I thought it was going to be a camper.
Yeah. But
somehow he knows the killer. So that was like a huge revelation mm-hmm. that he wasn't the killer. And also he knew who it was.
And now we're just down to the one last counselor, Alice.
That's right.
So the body gets thrown through the window and Alice runs out and a Jeep shows up.
Mm.
This is the big reveal. Who is it?
It's not Steve.
It's not Steve. It's not one of the other counselors. It's a character we've not been introduced up until this point.
It Mrs.
Mrs.
Verhees? Is that right?
Mrs. Voorhees.
Mrs. Voorhees. Yeah. Just like I just said. Yep. Mrs. Voorhees.
The classic character that we all know and love. First of all, she's wearing like a sweater in the middle of summer.
Yeah.
That thing has got to be hot.
That's how you know she's crazy.
Yeah. Well, that should have been the first clue. Mm-hmm. So Alice runs up to her and she's like, oh, no, they're all dead. We got to get out of here. And Mrs. Voorhees is just playing it cool. She's like, nah.
Yeah, I'm sure it's fine.
It's fine. We'll go check it out together. So they go inside. And so,
well, just really quick.
Yeah, please.
Such a red flag.
Yeah.
If someone's sobbing and panicking and saying, everyone's dead, everyone's dead, we need to get out of here, and she's playing it so, so cool, mm-hmm. you just need to take her Jeep. Mm-hmm. Just leave her. She deserves it at that point. But
or maybe she's just the coolest cat around. Right. She's got some sunglasses in her pocket.
She's cool
she
as a cucumber.
Puts them on, and she's like, I don't panic under pressure. Panic. Pressure's under me.
Yeah, she's like, I've killed so many killers. So I'm not even worried about it.
That should have piqued Alice's interest right there.
Yeah.
I've killed before. So Mrs. Voorhees wanders in. She sees Brenda's body. And this is when we get a lot of backstory.
Yeah, a lot of backstory and a lot of it's where the weird vibes start. Just more and more weird vibes for sure from her.
They just growing off. Ugh. So this is when we learn that two counselors were making love when a boy drowned.
Yikes.
She was the cook at the time. And we find out that this boy was her son, Jason. Eh?
Also, I totally forgot that Jason was, you know, Friday the 13th. It's Jason. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I forgot about that. So I heard Voorhees and that's when I realized. And then, yeah, oh, Jason, her son.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So did you not know that she was the killer in this movie? Like at all? Wow.
Yeah. Not until as soon as she showed up in Steve's Jeep, I knew.
Cool. Well, that's always a fun kind of thing. It's mm-hmm. been, what, 40 years?
Yeah, and never got spoiled.
So, you know, we find out Jason was her son. And this is what prompted her to go on a murdering spree mm-hmm. the next year and kill some other counselors who we saw at the beginning of the movie.
Right.
I liked that she started having like flashbacks of Jason drowning. Like it was looking from her perspective.
Yeah. Yeah, that was weird.
And she was just standing from the shore watching him. Hey.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I never thought about that. Yeah. So she was mad at the counselors for letting her son drown, but are we supposed to believe that this flashback of her watching her son drown, mm-hmm. she was like helpless somehow in this situation? She's like, but I'm just a cook. I can't do anything. And then he just drowns. Or is it like,
I'm imagining her just, she's a murderer in general.
Right.
And she's just looking for an excuse.
Oh yeah.
She's
like, she enjoyed it.
She's like, oh no, my son's drowning. Oh, now I have to go on a big old murder spree.
She's like, something about him drowning feels good.
Feels right.
I like this part.
Am I investing in my future right now?
And then it begins.
Yeah. So that's when the whole Mrs. Voorhees starts chasing Alice around. Alice runs out of the cabin. And this is when, again, we see Mrs. Voorhees' spectacular show of strength. Mm-hmm. Because there's like Steve's body like falls kind of from a tree. He's dangling. She somehow got the body up there. She
somehow got a dead body up into a tree. Very impressive.
Yeah. And again, that goes back to all the other bodies propped mm-hmm. up, thrown through windows. There is the scene where she starts talking to herself. Mommy.
That was so creepy.
Don't let her get away.
Mommy, mommy. That was the creepiest thing.
Don't let her live.
That I think in the whole movie, it was like, well done. Just creep factor like mm-hmm. 9 right there. So off-putting. Mm.
So, yeah, this kind of the end of this movie is pretty much them just running around. There's a scene where Mrs. Voorhees just slaps the shit out of Alice.
Oh, God, that was so funny. That was so funny.
Yeah.
I think I have in my notes something about her just getting backhanded super hard. Like, I loved that part.
Mrs. Voorhees just kind of kicks the shit out of Alice. And then Alice does get a few good hits in, too.
But not as good as
that slap. As
Voorhees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's again, more running around. Alice runs back into like the main house and is hiding in the pantry. Mrs. Voorhees corners are in there. There's the scene where she kind of cuts a little hole in the door that Alice is hiding behind. And she kind of puts her face through a little bit.
Oh, man. That's something I wanted to mention was that scene mm-hmm. because she's hiding in the pantry. Mm-hmm. And again, pantry.
Yep.
Somehow I knew that it was going to be a creepy
scene. Bad vibes. Yeah.
Bad vibes. And it was so good how they did the thing where she was in there and you hear her leave. Mm-hmm. And so she relaxes in the pantry thinking that the killer left and looks away from the door. And it's framed so well with the doorknob just right above her head.
Yeah.
And it just slowly starts turning again. Oh, man, that scared me. Yeah. That was creepy.
Did
and then,
you,
yeah, she starts busting through.
Did you feel like a level of relaxation for a second yourself, too? You're like, OK, I think she's OK for right now.
For a second. Uh-huh. And I thought, well, she's got to be. I thought she was going to open, like come out of the pantry and she would still be there. Mm-hmm. But I didn't realize they were going to do like a full like Jurassic Park moment.
You know,
with the rattling doorknob.
Mrs. Voorhees, more like Mrs. Velociraptor.
Oh,
hated that. So finally, we get to the last showdown on the beach. Mrs. Voorhees is chasing Alice. Or no. Alice, like, knocks out Mrs. Voorhees. Mm-hmm. She hits her head. There's some blood on the ground. Alice thinks she's fine. Alice wanders out to the beach. She kneels down, and she's like, phew, this has been a day, huh? Ooh, this is one for the books.
That was weird to me.
Yeah?
She just kind of is like, ooh, glad that's over with, and just kind of sits next to a canoe. Mm-hmm. And maybe she's just gathering her thoughts. I don't know. But it seemed a little bit like this isn't the time to just kind of like hang.
She's had a big day. She watched her friends get murdered. You know? She saw a little bit of blood, which obviously means Mrs. Voorhees is she's good. We don't got to worry about her.
Yeah, she's fine. I hit her once with the thing. So
I mean, at a certain point, safe. She got hit in the head with a frying pan, too.
Yeah, she got frying pan to the face. And which I forgot. She also got just a hefty, is it a kick or a punch to the vagina?
Oh, it was a kick.
Oh, a
it
vagina
was a
kick.
Swift kick. Yeah,
that I was about so that. Mean. It was, that was right after the backhand. So
right after the slaps,
It was justly, it was deserved.
Also, if you're being chased by someone who's trying to kill you, I feel like, you know, a groin shot is acceptable in any situation.
Totally. Any petty maneuver you can get at that, you know, point.
Definitely. So Alice is looking, or the camera is showing Alice sitting there by the canoe. Mm-hmm. And suddenly we see the reflection come up behind her. It's lo and behold,
of
Mrs.
course.
Voorhees with a machete.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
With her minor head wound.
Yeah.
Clearly, she's fine.
Mm-hmm.
With a machete.
Yep. She comes up and takes a swing at Alice. Alice blocks it with an oar, which breaks in half. There's more just kind of grappling. The machete gets knocked out of Mrs. Voorhees' hands. Alice gets a hold of it. And we get what I like to call the big finish.
Totally not expecting that.
Yeah.
Each new level of gore was a surprise to me. I kept thinking, oh, so this is where we're at. It's someone's getting stabbed. Okay, it's going to show the stabbing. That's kind of like this kind of movie.
Mm-hmm.
No, at no point did I think someone was going to get their, you know, I don't want to ruin this moment for you. I don't know if.
Oh, we're in the spoiler zone.
I did not think someone was going to get their head fully just cut off.
Just
pops right off her body.
Flew.
Oh, shit. Slow motion. That's how you know this is the kill shot. No fucking way. She just cut her fucking head off. She cut her head off, dude. Yeah, that was, I mean, almost comical.
Yeah.
It was
a little bit.
Yeah.
Especially like, you know, nowadays.
Yeah.
Yeah. At the time,
great moment.
Yeah, it was rad, and there was a point where you saw her hands just kind of like kept grabbing. Yeah,
her hands just kind of came into frame.
Yeah, just the fingers were kind of curling up and releasing. Yeah, I did like a little bit of blood shoot out too.
Maybe,
and then the body just falls to the
it
ground.
It definitely showed like the spine and like the goo.
Yeah,
the guts.
This movie was actually edited down for. I think it was originally an X rating or very close to it. And so a lot of the gore and the kill shots that we've seen have been edited down by just like a few seconds so they could get that R rating. So there is a version where I think it just kind of focuses more on her body, kind of in slow motion, wiggling around, as it falls to the ground.
I feel like maybe the movie didn't lose much by losing a little bit of slow motion, headless wiggle.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're okay. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised about the slow motion, too, because I noticed there was a few key moments of like slow motion, you know, like moments of slow motion.
Yeah, I feel that. So look it. She did it. Alice made it. She survived. She has won the day. And as every person who survives being murdered does, she gets in a canoe and just goes out into the middle of the water.
I honestly fully on her. I was like, good job.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you should have done when you got to the fucking canoe the first time.
Yeah.
You don't sit next to it with your back to the killer's body. You get in the canoe and you go out on the water.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't fault her for that.
Oh, no. I agree completely. Yeah. Like you're safe there. You can see anything coming at you. You're good. Nothing's going to get you.
Yeah. Voorhees isn't like headless. Mrs. Voorhees isn't going to swim out after you.
I mean, maybe she could.
She could try and walk, but
she's lifted bodies off the ground clearly multiple times. Maybe she just leaps. Yeah, she leaps or she just, you know, swims out with like a firm, you know, doggy paddle.
Yeah,
I couldn't, I couldn't think of any other swim.
That would positions. I feel like that would be her move.
Yeah. So I'm coming for you.
Yeah.
Help me. I'm gonna get you. Oh, I'll get her, Jason.
Oh, yeah. Can you kill her?
I'm swimming fast, Jason. And I was imagining Alice with an oar just like bopping her on the head. Like, get out of here.
Just holding her head.
Yeah.
Her neck, I guess. The top of her neck and just slowly pushing her down into the water.
Drown.
And then bubbles.
Yeah. So the police show up and everyone is safe. You know, she just has to go back into shore.
Yeah, it's daytime,
mm-hmm.
which is clear. It's always the like everything's OK now is the daytime.
Also, that music crescendo was intense.
See, I thought when she went into the water, I thought good move, but also Jason's going to get you.
Really?
At that point, I remembered Jason existed and I remembered something about him like being in a lake. Mm-hmm. Well, he drowned there, but he I also sure remember did. Something about him like. Living or something about the curse of him being under the water.
Uh-huh.
And then it transitioned to daytime and I thought, oh, I guess not. Maybe I'm thinking of something else. I'm like, oh man, I'm glad she's safe.
Mm-hmm.
Foolish.
You're a dummy.
Foolish.
Can't believe you thought that. Then what happens? A frog boy jumps out of the water and grabs her.
Gotta say, favorite part of the whole movie.
Yeah?
Favorite scene was a creepy lake boy just tackling Alice.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
Did you see that coming? You didn't.
No, because if it would have happened at night, totally would have seen it coming. Mm-hmm. But something about the
saying, yeah, just the whole, the music crescendo, the police are there, that it's daytime. Nothing bad happens in the daytime.
Yeah. And I thought, you know, this is an older movie. They're not trying to like buck trends or like do anything like out of the ordinary necessarily. Like, oh, the kids got killed. She killed Mrs. Voorhees, and then it ends and people are happy. And then Lake Boy comes out,
mm-hmm.
like supernatural. I'm still alive. Rotting flesh boy.
Yep. My head is bulbous because it's filled with water.
Yeah. It just changed brains. The whole movie.
Yep.
Because it just goes from like crazy lady killing teenagers to, you know, I'm alive in the lake. And then he just murders her. Well, you know, as far as I thought,
mm-hmm.
until she's five.
And then she wakes up after Lake Boy attacks. I like that Lake Boy.
And I thought it was a dream, mm-hmm. which I'm assuming they intended. And then they say they found her in the lake.
Mm-hmm.
So that was real. Because, I mean, Jason, I'm assuming, shows up later, you know, with the mask and all that.
Spoiler alert. Yeah, he does.
Right. Yeah. I see. Yeah.
Yeah. So she wakes up and she asks, you know, what happened to the boy who attacked me? Ma'am, we didn't find any boy. Then he's still there. Did that happen?
Yes. I guess it's up for interpretation, but totally did.
Mm-hmm.
Frog boy's alive.
Lake boy. He lives in the lake.
Yep.
He'll get you boat. Don't go in the boat because he'll get you. Well, with that wraps up the end of the movie. So let me ask you, Jeff, what are your final thoughts on the movie right now?
I gotta say, I knew right away I liked the vibe of it. I liked how classic it felt because I realized I'd never seen like a classic the camper campsite killer
mm-hmm.
thing. And I knew of it and I was always a fan of that kind of vibe and that imagery of the campers. And I even like worked on a game where we made it. It was campers and they got attacked and stuff just because I thought it was so fun. Mm-hmm. But I'd never seen a movie with an actual horror movie with campers. So that was cool. I would say it didn't feel like there's a couple of jump scares and it was really fun. I don't know how scared I was through most of it, but I will say I was watching it alone mm-hmm. at night.
Perfect time to watch it.
And there was a couple times where like I just had this instinct of like, hey, maybe just look over your shoulder really quick to see what's going on. Cause I was sitting with my back to my open window.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those times I looked over and I saw the reflection of the fucking TV mm-hmm. with the killer.
Mm-hmm.
And that was terrifying.
Was it Mrs. Voorhees?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just like her doing her crazy face. And it looked like someone was standing on my patio.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew, I was like, this isn't scary, but apparently it was.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say it was scary, kind of. Mainly it was just kind of like fun to see the origins of modern like horror movies and watch. I would recommend this movie to people who aren't too into like really scary, really gory movies. I feel like it's a good classic kind of fun one to watch with your friends. And, you know, it's not so bad. It's
like we were saying earlier, it doesn't have a lot of gore, especially compared to movies these days.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fairly quick. And I agree. I think somebody who is interested in horror movies, I think this would be a good one to kind of suggest. Again, for the tropes you said, just mm-hmm. because of the cultural impact that it's had on slasher movies, horror movies, and the legacy that it's left, that is, you know, it's still going to this day.
Right.
You know, we're still talking about it. There has been numerous video games, comics, movies, you know, sequels.
Yeah. People still reference.
Oh, all the time.
You know, things from this movie or just concepts from this movie.
So this one set a good bar, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have any personal like favorite moments or favorite kills or anything?
Definitely my favorite moment again, was Jason in the end, mm-hmm. was Lake Boy.
Yeah.
I mean, how could I? It just sets itself apart from the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
It's just a whole different experience. It's like if you're watching a crime drama and then aliens showed up, but in the best way, where it didn't feel random. It was just like, oh, now this movie is this new thing. Mm-hmm. That was awesome. Other than that, I gotta say, favorite scenes or kills, Kevin Bacon. I mean, that's up there. That's on the list for sure. That was scary. That was probably my biggest jump, was the hand. That was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say those two.
I would say my favorite scene was the one where Brenda's body gets thrown through that window.
That was good.
Because I forgot that had happened. Mm-hmm. I had the little jump and little laugh. And I was like, ooh, that was great. Best kill, in my opinion, was definitely axe to the face.
Oh, okay.
Like that one, again, just the effects, the practical effects on that looked mm-hmm. fantastic. Yeah.
And it was that was good.
Pretty gross.
And it felt classic.
Yeah. Just a good old axe to the face.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, out of 13 Mrs. Voorhees sweaters, how many sweaters would you give this movie?
Ooh, out of 13,
mm-hmm.
I would give it 10.
Ooh, really? Okay, nice.
Yeah.
Good.
It definitely deserves that.
I would give this movie probably 9 sweaters out of 13.
Nice.
This is definitely not one of my top favorite ones. Like, it's for sure up there. This movie actually used to be a lot lower on my list.
Hmm.
Mostly because I had seen the other Friday the 13th movies before this one, and I didn't know. Well, I had heard that Jason wasn't in it, but right. Now I've gone back. Here's a fun fact for everybody. This is going to date this podcast pretty good, but we had a pretty terrible year in 2020. A pandemic happened and everyone was locked in their houses. But it helped me kind of develop a love for finding horror movies on VHS. And Friday the 13th ended up being one of the series that I was collecting, or I started collecting, and I got some of my favorites, 1 through 6. And I put on the first one and I had a new appreciation for it. I really liked a lot of the kills, the effects, and like we said, just the origin of Jason. Where he comes from, the slasher vibe.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. It's almost, I rank it so high because of its historical value almost. Like, it's really fun.
Definitely.
It's definitely different, though, in tone than some other ones that I've seen. Like, the campiness of it is toned down. This one feels more like a Psycho or something. It's mm-hmm. kind of that vein, and less like a big buff guy with a mask terrorizing children. You know what I mean? It's kind of it's like its own creature.
And it does have a bit more of a serious kind of vibe.
Right.
So like some of the later Friday the 13th movies for sure get a bit more goofy. Like number 6 has some moments where it's more comedic in tone.
Yeah. Which I usually prefer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, hey, maybe we'll have to get you on for the 6th one.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
Yeah. So, with that, I think that's going to wrap up this very first episode of Hurwitz's Horror House. That's not right.
Yeah. Also, one more thing.
Yeah, please.
As soon as I saw the campers,
mm-hmm.
I thought, great Halloween costume.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's been done a million times.
Yeah.
But Camp Crystal Lake campers.
Yeah.
With the little yellow shirts, with the logo and the little white belts.
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
Oh,
and you could do like knives in yourself, and it would be a great group costume.
Definitely. And if you want to get your grandma involved, just like, you know, have her wear a sweater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just be creepy and, you know, lift bodies.
I mean, that's a great, you know, group Halloween costume. I always appreciate a good group Halloween costume.
Oh, me too.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Jeff. This has been very interesting, again, for seeing another person's thoughts who isn't the biggest horror movie fan. You know, yeah. I'm glad you've enjoyed this, and I'm glad you sat down and gave it a watch.
Yeah, I'm coming around, you know, to some of it.
Well, I know we talked about this off air a little bit, but I think I would love to have you back for Friday the 13th Part 2.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I know I said I will be having more guests, but, you know, I think since you've seen the second, you have got to see this, or excuse me, since you've seen the first, you have got to see the second. And here's a spoiler for you. Jason does show up.
So I also have a spoiler for you.
Uh-oh.
You had all these cool guests planned.
Uh-huh.
I killed all of them.
Oh.
Yeah. I just saw the movie and I was like, you know what? This looks fun.
Aw.
And I just murdered all your guests. So
you brought them all to a camp and you put them in similar situations.
Yeah, you'll find them all. I mean, you could still have them on your show.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
They just won't say too much.
Maybe.
Or it'll be you standing behind them.
It'll be
them.
Like Lake Boy.
Yeah.
They'll show up and they'll have their, you know.
Wait.
It'll be a good time.
Do you think we could actually get Lake Boy on this podcast?
Hey, maybe.
Maybe. Never say never.
Keep listening and, you know, you'll find out, maybe. Lake Boy, episode 8.
Special guest, baby. All right. Well, again, thank you for joining us. Catch us next time for Friday the 13th, Part 2. Jeff, where can people find you on social media?
Oh, that was probably really loud. You can find me on Instagram, Art of Jefferson, or you can go to jeffersonmiller.com, or you can go to...
Your Twitter is also Art of Jefferson,
Twitter,
correct?
Yeah, Twitter is also Art of Jefferson. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
I highly recommend checking out all of his work. He does really cool drawings. He was doing a live stream for a little bit. He has a store where you can purchase a lot of his prints. They're all very kind of comic book and pop culture related type things. He has done a really cool X-Files one. He's done a great Phantom and the movie The Phantom. And he's done, we're part of a D&D group and he drew all of our characters and they all look fantastic. But yes, Art of Jefferson Miller, I highly recommend it. Well, that's going to do it. Thank you so much again for joining us, Jeff. And catch us next time on Hurwitz's House of Horror.
Ooh.
Bye.